Welcome to Australian Design Radio, a podcast seeking to provide Australia and the world with conversations and commentary on design.
This episode is recorded on Yugara and Turrbal country. We acknowledge the traditional owners, the enduring connections to land, knowledge and stories, paying respect to the elders past and present. I'm your host, Amani Thasim, and I'm joined by my co-host, Matt Leach.
This time around, we're re-catching up with Love Work Studio, a brand strategy business based out of Brisbane.
What does re-catching up mean?
That's code for Matt recorded a whole episode with them the year before, but didn't release it because there was so much background noise and it was so bad that he should have really done a pre-record to ensure that didn't happen, but he didn't.
Oh yeah? So not your finest hour?
Yeah, I kept thinking I could fix it somehow with some new noise cancelling software, but it just didn't exist at the time. It does now, thank you AI, but in the end it was just easier to re-record and re-catch up with them.
Them being Campbell and Robin, the founders of Lovework.
Exactly. Two of the most lovely people you're ever likely to meet. And a couple. They have over 40 years of experience between them, and I love how deep they dive into their projects.
I think on their website, they describe it as method acting.
That's a great way of explaining it. Yeah, everything they do is incredibly collaborative between them and the client. It's a very unique way of doing brand.
Yeah, I really enjoyed learning about their process. And how they let their clients into their working files. But let's actually hear it from them.
Yep, good idea. Really hope you like this one. And thank you, Robin and Campbell, for being so patient.
Well, it's been a really intense couple of years, I would say. So we got back during COVID. We had a nice, calm re-entry into Australia, you know, living where we are in Redcliffe. There's the bay outside. We could go out and go walking and look at the fishes and see a dugong like going past and, you know, stuff like that. At the same time, preparing to launch the studio, setting up the showreel of past projects and things that we'd both had worked on over the years and thinking around the name of the studio and how we're going to launch things. And from when we launched the studio, yeah, then things got pretty busy straight away. Got a couple of projects came in, really wonderful clients, Birdie and Million Pugs, both of which we've kind of launched and shared with the world on our social media. And then those projects led to other projects. And then the team started to grow. We introduced a couple of people. We brought Lucinda on first, who's an amazing kind of creative architect, cross illustrator, cross designer, who's joined the team.
And then Slashy?
Proper
Slashy.
Yeah, and then Ashley, likewise, joined very, you know, pretty much straight away because we kind of realized actually, because there's both Robin and I, having one other person in the team is a bit intense because it's like me and Robin and Lucinda, yeah. You know. And
for context, we're married as well as partners in the studio.
Yeah, so we thought, you know, actually I need to bring someone else on straight away. So Ashley joined weeks later. She run her own fashion business, creating incredible patterned wetsuits, and then moved into graphic design, and she'd done event management and other things as well. So she brought a whole other range of skills.
Amazing.
And we try and hire people with real mixed skills and to bring in different perspectives into the team.
Then we did a few more projects, and Campbell and Ashley rushed over for an immersion phase for one of our clients, Guest Ready. That was a 3-week immersion in throughout Europe
and Dubai.
So they're a guest booking service and full apartment management, like an Airbnb style company management system. So when Campbell and Ashley were away, Lucinda and I had to hold the fort.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting time because we realized that when they were off doing the face-to-face client stuff, we could in the background be creating stuff and sending it back. So it looked like Cam and Ash were producing incredible amounts of work.
Yeah. Wow.
But we looked
unbelievable.
In that moment, we also had a bunch of freelance talent working with us and put on two senior designers actually. So Jason and Wilson.
It's a massive growth.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was amazing to present stuff in the room, doing a workshop, and then we'd be able to literally brief in the team back in Australia and they would turn it around. The next day they come back with material and work that had totally changed for the next presentation the next day. So that was pretty crazy, like 24-hour, round-the-clock kind of working. So
this is the global thing that everyone dreams about, yeah? It's like, oh, they can be working while we're asleep and then we'll wake up and then we'll present the next thing. But it never seems to work. Like everyone I talk to who has those kind of studios always. So how did you make that work?
Well, actually, the reason we could do that, I mean, you can't do that like long term.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's not a sustainable model. It's just you can do it for a short period of time when it matters, when it counts, when you just want to create something amazing. You know, you can operate like that and it works well. But actually we do work like that most of the time because we've got our core team based
throughout Australia.
Yeah, throughout Australia, Melbourne, Sydney, Adelaide and Redcliffe and Brisbane. We actually still work with international creatives, illustrators, animators, coders, copywriters. So what we do is in the evening, we'll send off a brief to them if we need some support or some help on something like, and they're all people we've worked with in the past. So while I was working with them at Design Studio or Wolf Ollins, so know them really well. We just reach out and say, hey, can you just do a blast? Give us a day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Write a whole bunch of copy for us, and then the next morning we wake up and it's this luxurious position where we've got all these lines written, you know, and so we do that all the time.
And it's quite nice because you do have a very different perspective on copy, on, you know, a particular part of the project, bringing different members of the team from around the globe. It's nice.
Do you find it ever slows you down in any way? Like with like if you're working with devs or like animators, because like, you know, you go to sleep, they get something done. But if you have feedback for them, like do
that. Yeah, it's not like they just, you look over their shoulder and go, oh, can you move that to the right a little bit?
I think one of the things that we're very fortunate to have is people who are really filled with initiative and self-starters. So if they get stuck on one bit, they might shift tack and try that same thing from another angle.
Yeah.
So their time isn't ever stopped.
Mm-hmm.
They're just attacking it from another angle. And when we do choose who we're working with, you know, it is definitely people who are flexible enough to be independent workers and make big progressive leaps on the project without us as well.
And for the most part, those international collaborators are people that we've worked with directly, like either on a full-time basis or just regularly, like connected with them over the years. So they know us really well. They know what we want.
Yeah.
And so they know that they're not going to hear back from us.
Yeah.
So they'll just kind of get stuff done.
Okay.
Sometimes it's wrong, you know, occasionally it's wrong. Not a lot. Occasionally it's wrong, but we don't worry about it. We just do it the next day. We give them feedback. They then have an extremely clear written feedback with little, you know, notes in either Miro or Figma on the exact parts that they need to correct or adjust, and they do it the next day.
Yeah, and I think what you said there, it's clear from the offset that you are in two different time zones. As obvious as that sounds, I think, if I think about some of the projects I've done, I kind of go in imagining it is like I'm in a studio, like we're working together next to each other. So it's not really set in stone that this is going to be a different type of relationship. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, actually, we're learning a lot about how to work async. And I think...
Well, you've got a remote workforce already.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I think sometimes our clients help us to jump forward as well. So learning from some, you know, a lot of clients that we've worked with, like we work with Locad and some big decentralized businesses, and they have different systems in place, and so they might be really receptive to hearing feedback like this or like that, or giving feedback like this and like that, and our response changes with each learning that we have, with each client that we have, and we've been very lucky to learn from a lot of really interesting clients, actually.
We're also, our approach is has really changed significantly, I would say, in the last 2 years.
Because it's a big studio now. Like, I mean, it's a bigger studio, like, compared to where you were 2 years ago, where it was you two.
The two of us, yes.
Yeah, and you know, we talked about at that time, you kind of, the work kind of flowed from, you know, the day to the night, and it was a very easy kind of organic kind of process.
Yeah. No, it's really changed. It's really changed a lot. And we've had to introduce some more structure and some new staff members as well. So Charlene has just joined recently. She's coming from, again, a bit of a hybrid, but much more focused on client services and program management, but has a design background. So all of us are designers, design leading, but we have a really diverse set of skills. So I'm more on the strategic side, the copy side, and then the kind of graphic design.
And I'm more on all of the, you know, the softer things around the edges, I suppose, and making sure that things flow easily and carefully for our clients and for our internal team as well.
But also design, program management.
Yes.
Finance.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know, yeah.
And incredibly organized.
All the business stuff.
I try.
Does that include culture? Because I guess I wanted to ask about, with a diverse team that is spread around Australia and the world, how do you create that culture or keep that culture alive?
So I think one thing that we've been really thinking about is, like, what, you know, what are the expectations as we go through a process, and what are those milestones that we celebrate together, and how do we celebrate them?
Yeah.
So we've been talking a bit about that, but also we have like we're all come to TDC, which is wonderful.
Oh wow!
So
cool.
Everyone's here, which is really lovely to have some time in person.
Yeah.
And then we all.
And we do that each year.
Yeah.
As well.
So we came last year with
the whole team.
The whole team, and this year again.
That's amazing, because I mean, you all get to experience it together, and then deconstruct what you saw, I guess, as well.
And I think it's really interesting because unlike a studio team where, you know, we might have gone to similar exhibitions because we're all based in the same city, we have these two moments in a year, so the TDC, and we do an offsite,
an onsite somewhere
off onsite. and those moments are those things that join, you know, we have collective memories from them, so we can all, I think, you know, we did some, went to some exhibitions, did some stargazing, you know, really had barbecues, four-wheel driving, a bit of hiking, you know, some lovely things together as a team, and it really changes the dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone really comes as their full selves for that bit, and then they know that they can bring their full self, I hope, to work every day online, remotely, from their homes.
And in person, occasionally.
Yes.
It's incredibly important culture, and I think we also are very kind of careful with who we bring into the team, in the core team, to make sure that they are collaborative people that are willing to work in a really open fashion, because it is, you know, you do need to be open now, and I'm meaning that in terms of, like, you know, working with different types of people, but also open in the sense of you've literally got to be able to show your work at any moment to the whole team, chuck files backwards and forwards. That's something that is actually learnt. Because we're not trained to do that. We're all trained to work individually, make a beautiful crafted thing, but that's not how it works on a big branding project. So,
and particularly our team, I'd say, with the collaborative working tools that are out there at the moment, like Figma and those things, everyone's in the files. Everyone's doing, you know, you see the cursors moving, and it is a practice to continually put down your, I don't know, your ego, your pride, your whatever this is that we hold close to our own ideas, and allow other ones to shine as well, but also to defend your own work when it needs defending, I suppose, as a team.
There's also, we've taken it another step further. I know we're sitting in Joseph Mark right now. I know that they already probably do this quite a bit, but we also now let our clients in. So we actually have an open working environment. So we're designing stuff in there, creating, you know, tons of, it's quite wild as well. Our creative process is, like, absolutely wild. So it's quite a big thing to let the clients into that environment. So for some clients, not all, because actually some clients hate that, but for the clients that are open to it, we actually let their designers come into our files. We say, pick them up, play with them, remix them, chuck them in there, you know, let's, you know, do it together. And they seem to really like that. A lot of the time as well, they don't take advantage of that. They actually are really respectful, and they like it more. And And you know, things like that.
Oh, that's really interesting. Do you ever make like a copy of your file before you share it with the client, or do you just go all out?
I would love it if we could just have one file and allow the client in and out.
I think that the truth is they actually have to create a second version of Figma for each file for me, because I go in there and I click things and they're like, you shouldn't click that. It just doesn't need clicking. So I'm not quite all over components or any of that, because I have been off the tools for a little bit. So when I do get in there, I think they need to have saved their work carefully.
No, it auto-saves, Rob. You don't even need to worry about it. You just, it's all backed up. It's got a history. But the we're trying to do that, but it really requires bravery. Now, what I think, and so it's a case-by-case basis. If the client is quite critical and negative or fearful, as clients often are, if any creative process, then we don't. So we basically will have a second version of the file. That's to relieve pressure from the team. The last thing we want to do is have an environment where the team feels like they're under pressure. You know, they might message me, the client's in the file. They're hovering above my art as I'm doing it. And then they're like, can you kick them out? I'm like, well, no, I can't really kick them out, but we can move file. Like, let's pick up the pieces. We'll move file and then we'll continue working if it's uncomfortable for the team. So we do that every now and then, but we're trying to get better at just allowing that creative process to happen in front of the client's eyes. But you can only do that with a client that accepts it, because clients get really scared if they see something going, as they would say it, off track.
Yeah, which you need to do in order to explore every possibility. So I can understand that. And I love the idea of it, because I know for a long time people, you know, we hid our work until it was ready, and as you mentioned, but it made the design seem easy. It's like, ta-da! I was like, oh, that was easy. That wasn't that hard. Where when you're actually showing them the amount of work that goes in, all the different ways you could have taken that you never did, they actually start to see the value of what's in it. And they also see the future of the design. They're like, oh, it's more of a thing like we need to keep working with these people because there's all this other stuff we could explore. How do you get that across to clients? Like, say you do have a fearful client that you want to have a long relationship with. Is there a way that you have managed that?
So I think it will definitely depend on how they react to things. I think, you know, if they get shocked by the work, or they react and they just think, you know, this is not, you know, not right, I can see it's not right, and they kind of come in early, I would normally try and reassure them. I'd say, don't worry, this is all part of the creative process. We're exploring every avenue right now to make sure that, you know, there's stuff that works or doesn't work. If you just let us explore those things, we're much more likely to come up with an original creative concept than if we don't go there.
Yeah.
Now, we're aware as well that we will cut down, we will make it functional and work. But if we don't explore things really openly and try lots of different stuff, we'll never create something fresh and original. And that's what you're paying us to do.
Yeah.
I think also just back to the client and what their expectation is, making sure that when we have a meeting or a presentation or a check-in point or whatever it is, a workshop. So some clients don't like meetings and they just do workshops. It's really interesting to make sure that we know the agenda, they know what the agenda is. Is this an input session or a decision-making team session? And are the right people in the meeting making the decisions at that time, or are we gathering input from a wider group of people within the organization? And, you know, how do decisions get made within the client's business itself?
How do you like go about finding that from the clients? Is that something just when you meet them and you're talking about the project, you ask them that straight up?
So we do a kickoff meeting, we've got a few different ways of talking through what milestones we have and when we expect things to close down to a single creative route, or when we expect things to be opening wide and being broad and, yeah, and exploratory. And
the are we talking about the diamond here, the wide and...
No, except ours is a little bit more rivery, and yeah, and it's you know, and it's all these tendrils that kind of come across, and you learn from the end of each tendril.
Yeah.
But there has to be a moment, which for me is a meeting or something, where you can close off some of those tendrils and say, actually, yep, we've learned from this. We're going to take this bit from here.
Yep.
But going forward, here's how we're going to go forward.
I like the idea of the flow, the river flow, and the tendrils. That's, I want to see that visually.
Yeah, Robin has this amazing presentation that she does, which is like super trippy and like a bit of an experience. I don't know if, yeah, she does it for Women's Wine and Design. She did this, yep, amazing talk, which was very inspiring for everyone, wasn't it? And it has the visualization, yeah, of all this stuff.
But I think it's about walking with the client and walking with ourselves and our designers, and making sure that, you know, when you close off these ends, you're comfortable with the ending. Yep. And I think as humans, we're incredibly uncomfortable with anything ending. And so the idea of exploring possibilities is really delightful to creatives.
Yes.
Not all clients may feel that delight, but a lot of people are like, there's so much possibility, there's so much possibility. And when you close those ends, you know, it's almost a grieving process. And
yeah,
and so it can be quite interesting to walk people through that journey with us.
We've also got a feedback document that we share in the kickoff meeting with the client that we actually modified from a TDC presentation that we got last time from, I don't know if it was one of the guys from Frost or some, no, it was on from the program management session, I think. Someone said, hey, here's a document that we share for to clients so that they give good feedback. So we modified it a little bit, but we kind of, you know, stole some of that. So thank you very much, whoever that was.
Borrowed.
Who gave it, sent it our way. No, I think he said it was fine to take. And that we find that really useful, which is basically framing where we are in each step of the journey and the kind of feedback that we want to get. So yep, in those early stages, obviously you want quite big feedback. Does this conceptually feel exciting and interesting? Will this help us stand out? You know, they're the kinds of big questions that, you know, that you feedback you want to hear.
Hmm.
At the very end of the process, 6 weeks later, in the design phase, we don't want to be hearing those big things. This is not the right, yep, direction. Yep. This is, you know, we don't like this. We don't feel that this is right. We would just want details at that stage. You know, maybe that color's not quite right, or maybe that typeface, you know, it isn't quite hitting the mark, but none of that big stuff like, let's start, that concept is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And of course, you know, occasionally it does happen, but mostly not if you've followed, you know, a very, you know, strong process, and we do have a really strong process.
And it goes back to making it very clear from the start, which is how you work with remote people, how you know, saying you work with clients, just make it very clear what the parameters are. Really makes sense.
So I guess you talked about your process with the client and stuff, but how do you get, what's your creative process and how do you kind of get a good brand outcome? How do you go about that?
I think what we love to do is we actually start strategically first. So we immerse ourselves in their brand. We become them, like method actors is our kind of approach. We're kind of, we want to know their business inside and out. We want to be them. We want to be their customers. And once we know them super, super well, and we do that in a very like rapid, intense way, we then move into a strategy phase where we're working with all the senior leaders of their business from all their kind of heads of different departments. We bring them all together. We workshop it. We decide what the future direction is for the business. We help them to modify it in any kind of way. We think around how they position, what their brand personality is, the kinds of messaging that they should be saying, what they, you know, what do we want to stand for? You know, what's our kind of our fundamental purpose? Why do we exist? And what's interesting about our product? What's unique about our product? What do we need to change within our product or our experience? We work out all of those things. We work out what they need to, you know, do in the future and shift and where they're heading. And then we help them articulate it in a really cool way, like an emotional, powerful positioning statement that we then use as a springboard, and they then use internally to represent who they want to be and how they should behave as a business. So we often set like some kind of set key behaviors for that business and how they should be living up to their brand experience. So we, you know, we try not to have heaps of those. We try and have like three kind of things. They're like, imagine they're like design principles. So anytime that that business thinks about creating a new product or a new service, they push it through this lens. Does this achieve our purpose? And how do we do it? How should we be doing it? Well, we should be doing this way. You know, maybe it's about one of the behaviors might be sharing community stories. So we'll do that. We'll live up to our purpose by sharing community stories, etc.
Yeah, because it's just bringing, I mean, it's design thinking, I guess, back into their business, whatever that business might be, and that, that chance to kind of check in with their values always.
Exactly.
And how long does that, is that a long process or is that like?
It's a lot faster than other agencies that I know well and work at in the past. So it's very, our process is like deliberately condensed and intense because that's how we like to work, and that, and we want to kind of, and we know that momentum is so important for creating powerful work and getting alignment. The longer that process, the more chance there is for disruption. So we try and kind of compress it as much as we can. I think you'd be, depending on the size of the business. So big business takes a way long. Just like
the stakeholders.
There's just millions of stakeholders. So you just got to push that timing. Like it'll go significantly out. But kind of a, you know, 200 employee business, you know, you're looking at anywhere from 5 weeks to even less than that to get immersion and strategy really kind of complete, signed off, agreed. Everyone high-fiving and ready to roll.
And I think from the back of the strategy, we want our clients to be able to stand up on a stage and that be the first thing that they want to say. And they believe it so deeply that they're that they're repeating those words. And so I guess it's really exciting when you see them posting things and as the process is going, and we're not finished the branding work yet, and they're already taking on some of that language, and they're standing up in front of different people and starting to starting to, you know, you see that shift.
And a lot of the businesses we're working with fundamentally change their product or service after working with us. So they literally will go, we're not going to do that anymore, delete, we'll just cut that whole side of our business, we will now focus over here, and we're going to explore this new product and service based on a lot of the insights that we've kind of gathered and the future direction that they all agree. Because a lot of the time, business leaders of these organizations just don't get that opportunity to come together and to talk about these things and to express the tensions within the business. And we tease those things out and help them to make decisions. And they make the decisions, but we kind of facilitate that process.
It's like a full health check, isn't it? It's like, you know, where is your company right now? And coming in as an external party and being able to kind of shine a light on that must be just, you know, revolutionary for them.
And that's, you know, so it's fundamental for their business, but it's also then fundamental for our brand expression, the visual identity, the verbal, how they kind of interact, the, you know, the how the brand moves. We then use those that positioning to inform all of that work. And by doing that first, you have a much more powerful ground. The client already trusts you. They know you, and they know that you're heading in the right direction. Because
and that you've got their best interests at heart. And I think that's the key, is in that time we're building alignment and saying, actually, we really want, we've done this method acting, and we really want the best for you guys. And I think they can feel that even remotely, which is which is exciting, because the team are really passionate about helping to change worlds, I guess.
Yeah. And then we take the positioning and we just explode it creatively, like in all different kinds of ways. And we work with a really diverse mix of different skill set and talented people. So we'll bring in animators, 3D, 2D, illustrators, copywriters from day one on the creative process, constantly exploring everything throughout the full length of the project. So always thinking interactively, always thinking through the digital lens of how it's going to roll out, and also the print lens, how physically it's going to manifest itself in the world. But we just have a lot of fun in the first bit. This is the funnest bit. That first couple of weeks, like just crazy, like creative experimentation, as many ideas as possible, no bad ideas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just explore tons of avenues. And then we, when we pull two or three, or just sometimes we call it two and a half, we do 2.5 routes, you know, where we kind of go,
I love it.
Yeah, where we go like, here's a fully fleshed out idea
yeah.
that's really solid, that's going to work everywhere. And we show examples of how it comes to life. And so we'll do a couple of those and say, so there's the strategy, but it can go in this way or this way, you know, and these are the two that we've really stress tested that we feel are, would be really cool. And then you've got this kind of, we often always do it, often
yeah.
frequently do a 0.5 route where it's just like, and here's something cool.
Yeah.
Like, and here's if you just ignore all of that and just something just rad. Because every now and then that 0.5 route is just brilliant.
Yeah.
And no one knows why. It's just some person in the team came up with a rad idea that was just great and everyone loves it.
Yeah.
And it's, if you'd followed the strategy, like to a T, you never would have come up with that crazy creative outcome. And so we always make sure we sometimes just put in a wildly creative outcome, because sometimes it just captures everything so perfectly and brilliantly and changes the course of the project. So always try that too.
And how does that, because we've talked about the process
yeah.
and kind of bringing the client along, does that shock them then? I mean, we talked about them being shocked at the start when all the ideas start going everywhere. And then are you re-shocking them to kind of...
I think we're re-delighting them. I think right. I'd like to think that we, you know, each time, whether it's a presentation, a check-in or whatever, I hate that presentation word. It's like, it's a discussion about the next part of the journey. And at each of those points, I'd like, you know, our team to be aiming to delight the client and be yeah. like, oh, you've thought of something ahead of...
Yes.
What we've thought of, we're preempting another problem. We're solving something that they didn't quite yeah. have on their agenda yet.
Yeah,
and that's exciting as well.
Yeah, I think I always want to present something that is just really unexpectedly wild, because those things are always new things. And so, if you only do what is right and what feels good, it exists.
Yeah.
So you can only do something new if it's really uncomfortable, if it almost like makes you feel afraid when you look at it, or you go, oh, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. not sure about that. And that's a good feeling. And yeah. so I often say that to the clients as well. So I know this is weird, you know, but you've got to just bear with it. That means it's new. That means it just doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're looking at something that just hasn't happened before.
And you're also opening up that you're preempting that other thing that they could be like, oh, these are great, but you know, oh, we were expecting, like, you're actually showing them like, well, this is a whole other way. So then they've got a comparison and it might solidify them on one of the other ones even more.
Yeah, it has not worked in the past.
Really?
So, you know, like what you're saying, I would say there's a couple of times when it's really, it's made us enter the washing machine, and the washing machine, the
Frankenstein,
is dead.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, it's more just like, I don't know what good is. Let's just explore something fresh, something new.
Oh no.
You know, right. And it's like, and that's an erosion of trust, and you don't want to have that situation.
Yep.
And the only way out of the washing machine is to let the cycle run. And so you've got to basically just keep going again and again until it's resolved, which you never want to be in the washing machine.
Mm.
The way to avoid that is to make sure your first couple of routes are really solid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, are really great executions, so that they always know, well, we've got something in the bag here.
Yeah. Yep.
And I think sometimes that that washing machine effect happens when we may not have had as much impact on the strategic part of the process, because that is the process part where trust is gained, where they know that we've got their best interests at heart, and
yep.
and all of that groundwork is done. And if that's not done together, there is no, you know, here's what good looks like, here's yep. where we yes. come back to.
Yep.
And so the washing machine gets switched on.
That's amazing.
Was there anything else you wanted to touch on?
Maybe a bit more kudos to the team, because they've been really amazing the last, yeah. I mean, I wasn't sure that a remote work would work for everyone, and it doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah.
but it works really well for me because I'm such an introvert and I love the team very dearly. And I think, you know, having a remote work environment really suits some people. And I think that's really cool for the industry, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, just to be adaptable.
It may not suit Campbell forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the opposite of Robin. So I'm like really like extroverted and out there. And so like I love, you know, physically interacting with, you know, other designers in a studio and things like that. But I've actually found it really rewarding because you're still having conversations with everyone.
Mm.
You're still having these like, you know, really kind of, you're communicating probably more.
Yeah.
Because you have to really get the right outcome. So you're having, you know, I'm not feeling like, oh, I need to communicate more. You know, if anything, you can like kind of get, at the end of the day, it's like, oh, I need to communicate less. Yeah. You know,
I think actually the first Ash and Lou, when they first started, we worked remote. The borders were closed. And so we couldn't meet in person for, I think it was about 8 months.
Mm.
And I was quite nervous thinking, you know, what if in person we don't like each other? What happens if, you know, if it's completely different? And we turned up at the airport with little signs, you know, saying their names with love work, held them up. And it was like the screen had never been there and they had never been that far away.
But they had legs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they were a little bit taller or shorter than I expected, but it was still, really... like we knew them very well.
Yeah. They were them and we get on with them so well. We're really very, very close team. But we have just set up a physical studio now in Redcliffe. So it's really cute, just got painted. It's an old shop front, like a 1940s old shop front. It was a Jewish bakery that we've now kind of back in the day, and then it's had multiple lives. And we've now just been finished painting and renovating it inside. So
renovations are never finished.
Yeah, the renovation's not finished. You know, we've still got work to do. But Charlene's now kind of coming in and working from there. If she wants to, she doesn't have to.
Mm.
No one has to come in and work there.
When you showed me the pictures, I was like, you've got a shop front. What are you going to sell?
Yeah, we probably will sell some like cool stuff, like some graphic design, like
some
stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll probably definitely do some like, you know, super cool posters.
Probably.
Penny, my daughter Penny, she's already started designing posters to sell. So we'll probably sell some of her stuff. But we'll put some super cool stuff in there. But we've also said to the team that if they ever want to just come to Redcliffe and have a holiday in Queensland, so you know we'll give them some money. And they can kind of jump on a plane and come and stay there for a week and work with us. And I mean, they don't have to, is it? Like, but if they want to,
that option is so valuable. Yeah,
they can come up and do that. They can, you know, bring friends or family or whatever and come and do that because
I'm coming.
We love to. Yeah, well, you can welcome. Come. Well, you're welcome. You're welcome because, I kind of need, you know, a bit more of that kind of interaction side as well. So we're kind of doing that to make a more flexible hybrid environment for all of us and, you know, make sure that we've got a sustainable studio for the future long term.
Mm. Okay, question for you, Imani. Does remote working work, in your opinion?
Yeah, I love remote working. I like having the option of going into the office, but on my own terms. It just makes the work-life balance so much easier. I don't know whether I could do a fully remote work job because I do like seeing and hanging out with people, but that can get tricky when it's so flexible because it's hard to find good face-to-face time with your team.
Yeah, interesting. So hybrid. Yeah, I'm the same. I find that splitting my time between the office and home works best for me. It's as if, I guess, each location stimulates a different part of my brain and I notice that I'm more efficient at certain tasks depending on where I'm working.
What about you, our listeners? Would love to hear from you. What's your thoughts on remote work? Are you for or against, or do you like hybrid like us? It feels like a topic we might need to come back to later on. Contact us at hello@ozdesignradio.com or comment on our socials.
And if you feel so inclined, you could leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or iTunes. That would be very kind.
See you next time.
See ya.